This is Graham Applin talking to John Martin about his long experience on STEP. He just told me he joined STEP in 1986, and he's been on the committee from 1990 up to the present.
I'm probably the longest, along with Helen. She joined at the same time, joined me the same year. So we possibly hold the record, I don't know.
I think you probably do. Now, you told me that this is it, though.
Yes, I have given due notice. I haven't given them a month's notice or a week's notice. I've given them a year's notice.
Okay.
Because I think it's long enough.
Well, one of my questions, the last one on the page, but we'll go to it first in that case. What are your hopes for and concerns about the future of STEP?
STEP has always had a problem. When STEP was launched, there were big issues. There were the netball courts, of course. That was what kicked the whole thing off. And then there was motorway through the Lane Cove Valley. That's what fires people up, and that gets people in. I think STEP needs another challenging issue, local issue.
But you may not want one, in a sense.
Which we may not want,
yes.
And because we may, in the end, we may not win, and that's that's devastating for most people. It's really kind of I don't know. It's a very frustrating time actually at the moment, because Sydney's just growing too fast, and it's putting pressure on just about everything in the natural environment included. And we don't have we don't have a government that's particularly interested in the environment. State and federal.
So looking at those bigger issues, the growth of Sydney, the environment, climate change, is STEP too small a player to really get involved in those?
No, because there are all sorts of different... I think what happens in a group like STEP is that you'll have lots of people with different talents over the years, and your committee will be made up. Maybe you've got a couple of scientists, maybe you've got people who are more on the political side, people with connections to council. We've had two ex-councillors. We've still got one ex-councillor on the committee, with one foot in the issues that concern the more political aspect of the environment. Climate change, I think, is probably a little bit too big. You can waste a lot of time and really, really go nowhere. But I think anything that concerns changes in the natural environment due to urban pressure, that's really what should be STEP's main, and the local environment primarily.
Now, having gone through the newsletters and then STEP Matters, I think right towards the very end, so last year, say, numbers on the committee seem to be down.
Yes.
And possibly membership too.
We always claim we've got 500 members, but 400, not 500. I think possibly the actual number is somewhere around about 420, but probably only about, currently, you'd have to ask Helen, but about 370 of them are financial.
But I think that 400 has been claimed for about 30 years, hasn't it?
Well, one of the things John Burke was pushing very hard to, he said we would be a really effective organisation if we had 500 members. Mm. That seems to be the key. We never got there. I think we got to 450 or 460, but we never got to 500. It's only a number after all.
So how did you react to STEP Matters of February 2007, which referred to you as our resident author?
I've never thought of myself as an author. I'm more like a compiler.
Well, you're authors, very keen authors, on photography,
authors
photography
write.
And maps as well as words.
Yeah,
yes.
I guess so. Authors write good English, and I just don't write good English. So I never thought of myself as an author. My English is very kind of clipped and to the point. Having my writing experience in being churning out multiple company reports and reports to companies over the years.
which is a little different.
It is. Although I was always complimented on my writing style.
All right.
In getting to the point and, not faffing about, as we used to say in Leicester.
Presumably one aim of your books and the maps is to get people, members and other people, more involved in the local environment.
Yes, I think so. It's an educational exercise. And also, when you're describing a specific area, obviously, like with the Lenco Valley, there's a little map for each area. Mm. People can get to know where to find certain plants. Not that they would use it as a guide that they take into the field necessarily, but something to refer to when they get back.
Now, you have led a lot of step bushwalks.
Yes.
I know you're a very keen bushwalker personally, and that was probably the case long before your step involvement started.
Yeah, it was, but I guess my walking through the jungle, so to speak, was more a job as a geologist than. But Perth, living in Perth, it's not a great bushwalking city. Moving to Sydney, suddenly it's like, you know, it's a cornucopia of places to walk, and it's fantastic.
Now, imagine, and it's not too far from the truth, that I don't know all that much about the environment, but I come on one of your walks. What do you want me to get out of it?
What do I want you? I want you to enjoy it. I don't really, because I lead walks for Hornsby Council, and the people that come along to that are not necessarily very knowledgeable about the environment, and I don't want to give them a lot of heavy information. I'd like them to enjoy the walk. In many cases, they're little family outings, they bring their kids along, I think enjoyment, but
hopefully enjoy the environment beyond that particular past that particular walk.
I would like if there are any key plant species, I would like people to know about them. If anything's in flower, I would tend to look at the geology too. I would tend to say, look at that sandstone over there. You can see the cross bedding and there's slump folding there and all this kind of thing. Yeah.
If there was a rare plant, would you purposely not point it out?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No, because I think if it's on a walking track, it's probably...
endangered anyway.
In case they'll come along the next day and dig it up. No, yes, I don't think so. Yes. It's not. I think there might be certain types of people who would do that. And one place I won't take people is... There's a walking.
Well, don't tell me where it is.
I can tell you it's in Keringai Chase, and it's off the West Head Road.
Okay.
And it's a lookout with one of those drum caves, and it's got rock orchids growing in it. And if you go at the right time of the year, they're in flower. But I don't tell anybody where it is.
Sure.
And because rock orchids have been plundered almost to oblivion over the years since white settlement.
So, John, would it be true, accurate, to say that your strong interest in the environment and your involvement in STEP have grown together?
I think so, yeah.
Or did one come before the other, or...?
You know, I think, if you join a group like STEP, you meet and liaise with a lot of people, and you bounce things off each other, and they teach you things, and you teach them things. I think where I've got to with STEP now is that I find the local issues much too frustrating, and this is one of the reasons I can't really stay on the committee any longer. Ever since doing the current book and getting to the far corners of the Sydney Basin, I've just seen, I'm no longer a North Shore environmentalist. I just like to get out and see all the variety that's available.
Is that because these local issues have become sort of legislative? No, that's not the right word, but they've become planning issues, and you get involved in the legalities of it, away from the environmental aspect into the legal.
That's part of it. Yeah, I think that possibly is part of it. I don't think that's anything. I don't think it's become that. I think it's always been that. I think, the step kicked off with the netball course. Sure. That was really a planning a planning issue, and there was no bigger planning issue than putting a motorway through the Lane Cove Valley.
True, true.
I just find... what is it? I don't quite know, Graham. Very hard to explain, but it's just one after the other, and it never goes away.
I don't know if you've seen this flyer that ended up in our letterbox this week. The netball courts haven't gone out of...
I've seen that, yeah.
Out of... out of concern. They're talking about lights there again and using them many nights a week. I mean, we've ended up caught in the traffic at the Communara Kissing Point corner on Saturday, late Saturday morning. Yeah. And it's going to be like that more frequently. So we're sort of going around in a full circle, in a sense.
It is. Actually, Jill's put together a really, really professional missive to Kooringai Council. Things that most people wouldn't think of, such as, you know, the heights of the lights, for example. Are they above the trees or below the trees? All these kinds of things. Yes. And when do they switch them off? Mm. And how many courts are going to be lit? There's all sorts of issues there. She's done a brilliant job.
Good.
That is one of her real strengths, actually, in, sticking to the detail and getting things right.
Good.
She's very, very good like that.
And that will appear in Step Matters, possibly?
Something will appear, but I can't honestly
say. No. Yeah, fair enough.
But
fair
there'll enough. Be the fact that we've done it will be in there.
Sure.
But it's three A4 pages, so it's probably a little bit big to put the whole thing in Step Matters. But anyway, that's up to Jill. She's editor of Step Matters as well as being president, so she'll probably decide. Or she can put a cut down version in.
All right, and I just see one note here. You were in 2012 awarded the Kooringai Environmental Award.
Environmentalist of the Year or something.
I think it was well deserved.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But I think we can leave it there if you're happy with that.
Oh, if you're happy, you're the person who has to be happy.
Thank you very much, John. I'm happy.
Okay.
Let's go and have some more afternoon tea.
That sounds good. Well done.